Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. Russia's road from perestroika and glasnost to Yeltsin and Putin's corruption, terror, and dictatorship. We go inside the criminal state of Russia with the first American journalist to be expelled from Russia since the Cold War. That's today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. David Satter has written about Russia for almost four decades now. He's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and a fellow of the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, known as ZEISS. His new book, The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship Under Yeltsin and Putin. Welcoming you from Paris this morning, David. How are you?
Oh, fine. Glad to be with you.
It's a good afternoon over there.
Afternoon here, definitely.
Yeah. Just a quick question first. In response to these sanctions that were just voted by Congress, Putin's already apparently had some of our property seized, and we're going to have diplomats chucked out of there. Any comment on that?
Well, it's an appropriate measure, and Putin's reaction is—he can do it. He can take whatever steps he likes. But the fact is that the aggression against a sovereign state, the seizure of territory, has to be answered, and the Russians have to understand that they'll pay a price for that. So they continue to be waging war in Ukraine. They have not released, or they've not returned Crimea to Ukraine. So I think that further sanctions are in order.
All right, talking about having diplomats thrown out, how did you get yourself thrown out of Russia?
Well, I can say that I didn't do much. I had been in Moscow only for 3 months on assignment as an accredited correspondent, but also an advisor to the Russian Service of Radio Liberty. And during those 3 months, I had time to open a bank account, to go through a lot of bureaucracy, to do some shopping. I did a few articles, but for the most part, they concerned historical events. So I think it was in anticipation of what I would do, and the Russian authorities had been tolerating me for an awfully long time. I had written about the 1999 apartment bombings, which brought Putin to power, and that's the most important question in Russia's post-Soviet history. I mean, the fact that most Americans are unaware of it doesn't make it less important. It just shows the extent to which we have not fulfilled our kind of intellectual responsibilities. But the situation changed in the world. There was a revolt in neighboring Ukraine in which the people of Ukraine united, in effect, to throw out a kleptocratic ruler. The Russian authorities saw that as a very undesirable precedent, and the previous liberal attitude that they had applied to foreign correspondents seemed to be a luxury they could no longer afford, and the first person that they wanted out of there was me.
We've spoken with Bill Browder before. We're speaking with him again, and he's definitely felt that he's at risk and has had to do measures to protect himself. Did you ever feel at safety risk?
Well, in Russia, no, but that may well have been a miscalculation on my part. I was counting on the fact that any action taken against me would only give credibility to the things I was saying. And they seemed to have adopted an attitude early on that they were going to treat accusations that the government itself carried out those bombings as just some sort of fringe conspiracy theory. And the best way to do that was not to do anything violent in relation to me. But, of course, given the sensitivity of the topic, a different reaction might have been possible on their part, I mean. I was just, my knowledge of them, the Russian psychology, the Putin regime, led me to believe that they would not take any kind of violent action against me. And in fact, they didn't while I was in the country. It came to just a decision to expel me. How they are likely to react in the future is unpredictable, I think, because they're handicapped by the fact that I'm outside the country. Of course, they do carry out acts of violence, for want of a better way to put it, against people who are outside the country. But it's much more complicated. And my guess is that at this point in historical time, they're not going to want to give the things I'm saying greater credibility by taking some kind of direct action against me. Let's hope I'm right.
This Trump-Putin bromance that occurred during the election, do you have any guess what that's based on, collusion, end the sanctions deal, any of that stuff?
No, I think that's all a lot of nonsense. I think that what it's based on is just vintage American dilettantism and stupidity. Every American presidential candidate since Reagan, practically, Reagan was the great exception, also the most effective president in dealing with Russia, has gone into office or has waged his campaign with the idea that because of the charm of his personality, he can bring the Russians around and we can have a working relationship. It's always the same. A president comes into office blaming the problems in U.S.-Russian relations on his predecessor, as Obama did in the case of George Bush. And then over time, he begins to understand that the problems are really the result of Russia's own actions. But that takes usually 4 to 8 years before the reality sinks in. At that point, a new president comes in, announces a reset, and the process just starts all over again. Well, in the case of Trump, you know, he saw that there were bad relations between the U.S. and Russia. He didn't have any background. He was just a businessman. So he began enunciating some really naive and superficial and actually very harmful positions. And he chose as advisors persons who should have not been anywhere near the center of power, because one of them was somebody who had done business with Gazprom, one of probably the most corrupt corporation in the world, and an entity that spreads its tentacles of corruption to everyone who has anything to do with it. But since he's become president, Trump, partially because he's now in a position where he has to listen to qualified advisors and he has access to intelligence information, has moderated a lot of the really ridiculous things he said. And I hope that that process will continue. As for the idea that there was collusion or anything like that, that's just nonsense. I know the whole country is going crazy over it, but the fact is the Russian intelligence just doesn't work that way. A Russian intelligence operation designed to change the outcome of an election would have been planned years in advance. It would have involved meticulous preparation and timing, and it would also have been conducted in secrecy. It would have been accompanied by something that's called a cover operation, or in Russian it's called operatsiya prikrytiya, in order to make sure that the core intelligence operation would never be discovered. Now, we recently had a lot of discussion about the meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and a lawyer who had alleged connections to the Russian government. And this is supposed so that the Russian government, according to this version, is handling a move to dictate to influence the election of the American president by email through a music promoter in London. I understand that people in the U.S. believe this, but no one who actually had real knowledge would take such a thing seriously.
Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com. Find the station closest to you. Listen over the Internet. Get to our podcast. In our next segment, we'll look at the road back to dictatorship in Russia.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this?
Mm.
How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
Our guest has been a Russian expert for over four decades. That's David Satter. Before we get into some of these just amazing instances of killing their own people under cover that it was, say, Chechen rebels, etc., you say one of the things that we have to understand over here, which is hard to understand, is that we have to learn to believe the unbelievable and the degradation of humans there. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, we are the inheritors of the Western religious and philosophical tradition, which establishes the ultimate worth of the individual, and in particular argues that the individual is an end in himself. In Russia, the individual is raw material for the realization of whatever crazy idea comes into the heads of whoever it is holding power. And once we get that straight, a lot of things that are confusing or were confusing become clear. But the Russians do everything possible to convince us that they're really just like us and to induce us to react to them as we would react to our fellow Americans. And that allows them to mislead us time and time again.
All right, we're going to get into this road to Putin, and again, you mentioned this earlier, we have very little understanding of these events. Start with the 1999 apartment bombings.
Well, there were four buildings that were blown up in the middle of the night and killing hundreds of people, including entire families were wiped out. In some cases, the remains of those people were never found. The explosion was so devastating. And the bombings were used to justify the Second Chechen War, a new invasion of Chechnya, which was carried out with barbaric methods, but it boosted the popularity of the previously unknown head of the Federal Security Service, the FSB, Vladimir Putin, and resulted in him being elected president. Now, a fifth bomb was discovered in the basement of a building in Ryazan, a city southeast of Moscow. And it was deactivated and tested, and it was tested positive for hexagon, which is the explosive that was used in the previous bombings. And a search began in the city for the persons who put the bomb in the basement, and they were caught. But they turned out to be not Chechen terrorists. It turned out to be agents of the FSB. And the FSB then announced that this was a training exercise, a purely absurd explanation for what had happened. But it was enough to silence people both inside Russia and in the U.S., by the way, because I received documents from the State Department which made clear that the U.S. government was thoroughly informed about what was happening, but chose to remain silent. And as a result of it, we helped facilitate the conditions under which Putin became dictator for life and all the problems that we have now.
The hostage seizing at a theater on Dubrovka, if I pronounce that right, that was in 2002.
Dubrovka.
Tell us about that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 2002, the Second Chechen War was beginning to take a very heavy toll. And many people in Russia were losing their enthusiasm for this war. And public opinion polls showed that many persons, in fact, a majority, favored a negotiated settlement. Suddenly, Chechen terrorists, an army of Chechen terrorists, who had assembled in the center of Moscow, seize a theater and take 1,000 persons hostage. Well, how is it possible in the middle of a war for 40 heavily armed terrorists riding around in armored cars that are in fact controlled by the FSB, that's the Federal Security Service. How is it possible for them to take control of a theater? And then the government refused to negotiate, flooded the theater with lethal gas, killing hundreds of hostages, of course, and then shooting all of the terrorists. The better to assure that they wouldn't reveal any inconvenient details about their collaboration with the security services. But the result was exactly what the authorities probably wanted. The world was horrified by the barbarity of the terrorists and paid relatively little attention to the details that suggested that the authorities were working with the man in hand in glove, and overlooked the terrible civilian casualties and the refusal to negotiate, and simply drew the conclusion that any negotiated settlement of the Chechen war was out of the question, and in fact those efforts came to an end.
And just so people realize how profound this is, in the first example, 1999 bombings, what the Russians essentially did was kill their own people to distract and increase the popularity ratings of Putin, which were 2% at the time, as you say. That's pretty cynical. Now, the 2004, the Beslan School gym massacre.
No, the Beslan School massacre, I mean, the hostages were herded into the gymnasium. And the Russia, it's basically the same situation. Evidence of cooperation with the in facilitating the takeover. And then an attack on the terrorists, in this case, with heavy weaponry, including flamethrowers, on a gymnasium where there were terrorists, but there were also hundreds of parents and children, hundreds of whom were burned alive, of course. The lives of the hostages were written off the minute the school was seized.
And David,
that was obvious.
David, the related to this, Anna Politkovskaya was a journalist who was very aggressive in investigating all this. What happened to her coming out of this?
Well, Anna Politkovskaya was murdered, and the conditions all demonstrate that this was planned by the regime and carried out by the FSB, everything we know about that assassination. And her fate was shared by others who tried to investigate the regime's involvement in terrorist acts.
In the remaining 40-50 seconds, when these things happen, Putin always says, we're going to find these killers, Boris Nemtsov, who was killed in the right almost in the Kremlin. Do they ever find these killers?
Oh, they sometimes round up a bunch of people who they claim carried the killing out. They never find the mastermind, and oftentimes the persons that they round up are just chosen at random. They need to throw somebody in prison or to pretend that they're doing something.
You'll see the Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We'll look at the failure of capitalism as Russia becomes a full criminal state and the failure of separation of powers next.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with David Satter. The book is The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship Under Yeltsin and Putin. And let's go into, they moved to capitalism, and you talk about how, you know, the prices are freed and 2,500% inflation eats everybody's savings, and then all these corrupt things are done from credits, bribes, vouchers. Talk about how did capitalism get so diverted into becoming a criminal state, essentially?
Well, this is always possible when capitalism is practiced without the benefit of the rule of law.
Yeah.
The law is what is necessary in order to regulate the competitive nature of capitalism. And this is something that was understood, among others, by Adam Smith, who said that the market is equivalent exchange. You know, I give something, and I don't get the same thing back, but I get it, the equivalent thereof, under prevailing conditions of supply and demand. But how do you guarantee equivalent exchange? Only with a framework of rules. And so the very nature of the market presupposes the existence of some type of ethical and legal framework. Now, that's what was destroyed in communism. As a result, when the Soviet Union disappeared and Russia emerged as an independent state, it didn't have the necessary legal, moral, ethical basis for establishing a market economy, and no steps whatever were taken to create it. The result was that the economy was transformed. It went from an economy of collective ownership, based on collective ownership, to an economy based on private ownership. And it was done in a very compressed period of time. But the final product was not democratic, market-based capitalism, but rather a bandit capitalism run by a criminal oligarchy.
I think at one point just 110 Putin cronies had about 35% of the GDP. Is it around that level, how much he was able to concentrate?
Yeah, those are the best estimates. That's what they control.
Another amazing statistic, between 92 and 98, the GDP of Russia fell 50%. The life expectancy fell 6 years. So in that sense, Putin looks good by turning stuff around, but based on basic oil money, I would assume.
Well, of course. I mean, the Russians, you know, people in the West who idealize Yeltsin, including a lot of past and present government officials who bet on him, they're reluctant to face the fact that he inflicted incredible hardship on the Russian people, and he was hated for a reason. Then, of course, oil prices began to surge, and in addition, the basic institutions of a market economy were created. And I mean by this, I mean privately owned structures. Obviously, it was a market without; it wasn't a true market insofar as it was heavily monopolized, run by criminals, and without the basis of law. But nonetheless, capitalist structures were created. And so when raw material prices, which had been depressed, began to boom, the conditions were created for a massive economic recovery. And Putin was the beneficiary of that.
And in business, Putin would actually just strip folks of power, right? If they wouldn't subjugate totally to him. And Khodorkovsky's an example. Yukos Oil was like the biggest company then, and he just put the guy in prison, right?
Yeah, Khodorkovsky. Yeah, he had him arrested, and in fact, he had and has the power to do that to anyone, which is one of the reasons why the oligarchs in Russia those who control big money are completely subservient to the regime.
Has Putin, how much money do you think Putin has or stolen, and where is that money?
Well, he's by most accounts, he's stolen billions and billions, and it's in the West. What he plans to do with it is hard to say, but the mentality that has gripped the people who are in charge in Russia is a mentality of literally uncontrolled gluttony. It is just, they don't have, by their very nature, they don't have a conception of any reason for which wealth might be used. And so they fall into a cycle of endless accumulation. Nothing is enough. And they've passed on these habits to their entourage, to their hangers-on, to all those who are connected with them. They buy everything. They buy yachts, planes, villas, they buy women. But no matter how much they acquire, they never have enough. I had a friend who sold private jets, or who was involved in the sale of private jets to Russian oligarchs. And, you know, in the case when an American buys a private jet, an American corporate executive or successful businessman, he's very concerned about the technical specifications. When a Russian buys a private jet, he wants to make sure that it's just as expensive and gaudy as the jet that his friend bought. Its actual qualities don't interest him much. And that's the mentality that is driving those at the center of Russian power.
Now, you do a great job of explaining how Putin basically eroded the separation of powers almost methodically. You call it vertical power, but obviously in this country we like to have an independent media, independent business, Congress, and courts. Take us through how he basically cut through each one of those.
Well, in fact, it wasn't Putin who took the first step and maybe the most important step. It was Yeltsin, because in 1993, Yeltsin abolished the parliament. And that set the pattern for everything that was going to happen afterward. By the way, our uninformed American officials fully supported the action of Yeltsin. And this is one of the reasons why we have these problems today. Yeltsin dispersed the parliament, and he did it violently. He did it with the help of provocations. And so the pattern was set very early, and it was set not by Putin, it was set by Yeltsin. The super presidency that was created under Yeltsin basically stripped the legislative branch of government of any ability to control the actions of the people in the executive. And from that point on, it was a question of controlling the press. Well, Putin's first project as president was to take control of the national television networks, which he did through a series of rather complex financial maneuvers in one case, and in the other by arresting the leader of an independent television network and telling him either to hand over the network or go to jail. Once national television was in the hands of the regime, the next step was to stamp out independent business. And that was undertaken with the arrest of Mikhail Khodorkovsky and the sentence he received to a long term in a labor camp. He was accused of tax fraud avoiding taxes and fraud. The details of the charges against him were I would say this. The charges against him could have been brought against any Russian oligarch who made money in the 1990s. So this was a case of selective prosecution. All those who were subservient to Putin and made sure that their wealth was used for the political purposes of the regime where necessary, were allowed to keep their wealth. Khodorkovsky, who had independent political ambitions, he was put in jail, and the message was conveyed to everyone else. So the regime now controlled the parliament, the media. It had subordinated business, and under these conditions, there was really no room for an independent legal system or an impartial prosecutor or police. And so one by one, the levers of power were simply taken over by the regime. Today, there no real opposition is possible within the structure of government.
Wow. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, WYBC, and WGCH, Greenwich. We'll talk about Russia's fate in our final national segment.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, Call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
Back with our final segment, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and fellow at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, that's David Satter. I'm going to ask you about, you know, what you see Russia's fate as. And you look historically, they've always liked authoritarian leaders to begin with, czars who were fairly corrupt themselves. What do you see as their fate? And is Putin trying to restore some czarist Russia empire type of vision?
He talks about that, but I think that's really just a cover. I think what he's really interested in doing is making sure that he and his cronies hold on to power. I think they're realistic enough to know that Russia, which hangs on in the world on the basis of raw material exports, is not in a position to restore the Tsarist Empire or the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
They threaten that, and they will continue to do it because it convinces a lot of people in the outside world that they have to deal with Russia. But I think that the core objective of this regime is just to hold on to power in a situation in which they know that the day is may well come and people will wake up to the realities of their thievery and their crimes.
What will it take for that to happen? And is there a chance of a revolution?
I think it's happening in a way already. There's a lot of discontent, and the recent demonstrations and anti-corruption demonstrations in Russia, which focused on Dmitry Medvedev, the prime minister, but it actually target the entire regime because Medvedev's behavior is typical. They mobilized a lot of young people, and they did it in cities all over the country. I think that tendency can only grow as it becomes clear that Putin has no intention ever to surrender power. The corruption gets worse and worse. The lawlessness gets worse and worse. And it's a stultifying environment that's created for people. And those who are the most creative, the most individual, the most able to contribute to their country are the ones who are suffering the most.
I looked this up, and Russia's GDP, at least a year or two ago, was about $2.1 trillion. Italy's was almost 2.1, so they're almost the same. Why do we treat Russia as a superpower?
Well, I mean, Russia has a formidable army, and it has nuclear weapons, and it has the experience of subversion that it inherited from the Soviet Union. And of course, Russia is a huge country, so and it has vast natural resources. Under these circumstances, the West is often obliged to deal with Russia, although we take it more seriously than it deserves.
Their economy is in bad shape right now. We are, on the other hand, are heading towards energy independence. Should we essentially do economic warfare on them? What sanctions would really hurt Russia?
Well, probably banking sanctions, because they, like everybody else, are dependent on the U.S. banking system. The sanctions that have been imposed are reasonably effective in at least in conveying the message that Russia can be made to suffer for its aggressive behavior. It may be necessary if there's no progress in resolving some of the pressing issues concerning Ukraine, that those sanctions will be intensified.
Is there a threat that they would ever use nukes?
Well, I mean, you can't rule out anything in this world, but I think that that is not their orientation. They are not suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely are happy to threaten to use them and to gain maximum leverage as a result of that threat. And that's something to the fact that they're willing to do that very much characterizes them and is something we should keep in mind when we talk about improving the relationship with Russia, as if improving the relationship independent of their behavior was an end in itself. But but they are not suicidal, as I say. Even the highest ranking members of Putin's entourage have a pronounced taste for luxury and they want to enjoy it, and they're not going to be able to enjoy it if they get blown up any more than anyone else can. So I think that the real risk is that an internal crisis in Russia would push the regime to take chances in order to rally the population around itself, and a chain of events which would be set in motion that could lead to some type of military confrontation. And although I don't think it would involve intercontinental ballistic missiles, Russia does have a lot of tactical nuclear weapons, which in a European confrontation, for example, in the Baltic Republics or in Poland, might be used. But the situation would have to be very, very desperate for them to think in those terms. And I think that it's highly unlikely, and we're not anywhere near a situation like that right now. I think now we're in a situation in which the use of such weapons may well be threatened. But threatening and deploying, those are two different things.
All right, we're down to the last minute. You may have just done the worst case. I wanted to sum up what you think the best and worst cases are, Russia's fate, and if you already did the worst, just do the best.
Best is that the truth will finally be known about the regime's crimes, that some type of truth commission will be established, both outside and inside Russia, to make the Russian people aware of the dangers of the domination by a lawless state, and that there'll be a new constituent assembly to lay the basis for a real democratic system to replace the one that was abolished in 1918.
Thanks to David Satter, but a very fast hour. He's certainly not on Putin's approved cronies list. His new book is The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship Under Yeltsin and Putin. And it's clear how little we understand here in the U.S. of the true nature of the regime and what they've done. Thanks to David Satter. Thanks to our national audience for listening. And we'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.